to Matthew 6, 5, and we will go through verse 13, 6, 5 through 13. And tonight I decided to choose a subject that is something that I taught to my Sunday school class here last year. And it was based on prayer. And I think that prayer is very important in a Christian's life. And when I explain some things, Matthew 6, starting at verse 5, and we will go through 13. And prayer should be an important part of your life. And I'm going to explain some things, and some of them can be funny, and some of them are dead serious. And so the Bible says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." So that's not what prayer is about, that others see you. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And I can remember as a young child, and don't think that young people do not remember prayers. I can still recite Hail Mary to you. And that was 60 years ago when I learned that. And so I kind of like the way I've learned to pray now. I have the liberty. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." So why does he want to hear me? I'll explain that to you. There's a reason for that. "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And so, as I said, I would like to speak on prayer and the importance that it should play in our life. It should not be something that we take lightly. It should not be something that we do when we feel like it. It should be something that we do because God deserves our prayers. And it should be a daily requirement as it feeds our soul and gives us a proper start to our day. You know, people always tell me, "I need a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or something to get me started every morning. I got to have that. I can't operate my day without one." Well, you shouldn't be able to operate your day without a time of prayer. That just should be as natural as drinking your first cup of coffee. Yes. And in fact, brother, I would tell my students, you shouldn't leave your house without doing your devotions. And you should brush your teeth after your devotions. That way, if you don't do your devotions, go out stinky breath. Because that, you stink on the breath, you stink inside. So what's the difference? And so my students have heard me say that, and they know that I feel very serious about that. It is important enough to God that he gave us a model prayer so that we would know how to pray. God just didn't leave it up to us to decide how we should do it. He actually gave us a model. And so I'd like to break it down to an acronym. And this way you get to remember how to pray, some of the important parts of prayer. And my daughter taught me this, and it's ACTS. Just like action, it's ACTS. So A is for adoration. So you just start your prayer thanking your God for the great God that he is. Your C is your confession. Tell him, "Lord, I sinned." Be open with him. The T is for thankfulness. Tell him what you're thankful for. And I'm going to relate a little story a little bit down here a little later. And then supplication. then bring your request to him. But come in there, tell him what a great God he is. Tell him your sins. Tell him that you're thankful. And then bring your request to him, your supplications to him. Adoration. I like to remind myself and tell my God how great and awesome he truly is and why he deserves to be praised. You know, I can remember 25 years ago when someone told me you have an awesome God and how disrespectful I thought that was. And then I looked up the word awesome. And I thought, there's nothing disrespectful about that. Awesome was a word that young people use. Oh, that's awesome. We just misuse words, but that describes our God to a T. He is an awesome God. Unmatched. No other one like him. He deserves to be praised. I acknowledge him and give him all honor. There should be no reason why you can't acknowledge him and give him all honor. He is your God. I want him to hear it from my lips, and not that he should know it, because he knows my heart. But I want him to hear from my lips. It's kind of like yourself. When you do a good job, do you not like someone to tell you, good job? God wants to hear it from us. He wants to know that it's real. Oh, but I don't have to tell God. He knows me. Doesn't he know everything? Yes. No, yeah, he knows everything. I still think he likes to hear it. Otherwise, why would he ever want us to pray? He knows what we need in advance. He knows how we're doing. He knows whether we're sinning or not. I think God likes to talk to us. He gave us a love letter. Why did he bother with this if he could just feed it to us? And somehow we magically could say all the verses in the Bible. Because he wanted us to put some effort into it. Amen. Confession. I need to keep a short account so that I can walk near him, knowing that sin brings a separation and will keep me from him. Have you ever noticed that in your life? When you're sinning, the Bible's the furthest thing from your mind. Church is the furthest thing from your mind. If you're telling dirty jokes, how you want to go tell them to your friends, but you don't want to be anywhere near a person that's spiritual. I had a phone conversation the other day. A gentleman that I've probably known, not real well, but well enough that he should know who I am. And he worked in Minnesota. I worked in Chicago. And he calls me now because he's the guy that assigns work. And so he was talking to me, and he started talking to me. And he says, well, you know, I really need you to be in New York. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I've got a couple of classes to teach right now. Our pastor's sick, and I'm preaching. And he got real quiet. Like, oh, I should have remembered that. And so the last conversation we had, about every fifth word was a cuss word. Well, after he heard that, he says, what do you mean you're preaching? Yeah, I got to preach Sunday, last Wednesday, Sunday morning, Sunday night. You know, that school that I told you I teach at, it's a Christian school. I didn't hear one cuss word this conversation. I don't think I'll hear another cuss word any more times until he forgets again. Amen. Isn't that funny how sin will do that to you? So I need to keep a short account so that I can walk close to him. Because sin will bring that separation and will keep me away from God. I don't want to see God when I'm sinning on purpose. And I think that when we sin on purpose, we know we're sinning. And yet we choose that. Now, I will tell you what sin is in a little bit. And you will have to decide whether what you're doing is sin or not. I know sometimes we like to think, oh, well, that really isn't that bad, so that's not sin, so I can continue doing that. But I'm going to explain what sin is, then you tell me what you think. I have been told that the Bible, and I got this in my daughter's Bible when she was saved. You know, Sunday night when I gave you my testimony and I told you how sad I was that my daughter was led to the Lord by someone else because her dad was a bum and wouldn't go to church. And this person, I believe it was Mrs. Edwards that wrote in your Bible, that gave you that Bible. And she wrote in her Bible that the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from your Bible. Amen. So you say, well, Mr. Mendez, why do I have to do devotion? Do I need to explain it anymore? The Bible says the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from your Bible. So if you're not reading your Bible, then you are sinning. Yeah. It's that clear. Don't want you to raise your hand. How many of you left the home this morning without reading your Bible? Decided, I'm smart enough to do this on my own. I'm good enough to do this on my own. Sin? Sin? So if I can't read my Bible, it makes sense. I can't walk close to God or have a desire to do it. Oh, yeah, Mr. Mendez, I'm close to God. Did you read your Bible? Oh, no. No, I didn't read my Bible. But I'm so close to him. I prayed. Did you read your Bible? What did God have to say to you? You got to talk to God. Did God get to talk to you? Amen. Remember, sin will keep you from that Bible, or that Bible will keep you from sin. Don't read it, and I tell you, you're going to be walking in sin. I tell myself that I should come quick. I tell myself that I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But do I have a long list of sin, or do I have a short list of sin? Did I clear my sin from my heart today, or did I just let it pile up and pile up and pile up and pile up because I didn't have the time to read my Bible or pray or to ask for forgiveness this morning? How long is your list? Do you really want him to come now and catch you with this whole bag of sin? You know, I always tell you, I want the Lord to come on Sunday morning at 11:15 when I am worshiping, when my heart is pure, when I'm happy, when I have my Bible, I just got done singing. But what's wrong with coming on Tuesday afternoon? Did I take care of my sin for Tuesday morning? Or am I carrying that sack and keep piling it in there? God, I'll take care of that tomorrow. I'll take care of that later tonight. I'm having way too much fun. You know, sin is fun for a season. And then it brings you destruction. So when I say, Lord Jesus, come quickly, I better mean it. Because he might. You don't know if you'll get to walk out of this door and go pray again before he comes. Is your heart ready? Is your heart clean? Or when we went to prayer, did you just play act? Do I want to be found doing right, being in church Sunday night, or found sinning, watching a football game? Oh, it's not that important. I stayed home Sunday night. Really, it's not that important. Yeah, my team was playing and they needed me to encourage them. Yes. Oh, wait a minute, Mr. Mendez. Why is that sinning? I told you this last night. Do you remember what I showed you on Sunday night on James 4:17? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. Is it good to be in church Sunday night? Amen. And if it is, and you choose not to, then you sinned.
Right.
Get it right. But the problem, that isn't a problem because you can fix it. Amen. The problem is that if we don't see it as sin, we don't fix it. And then the next time, it's just easier and easier and easier. And pretty soon, you don't see them anymore. And we have families that when the COVID hit, it was easy to say, I'm afraid of getting sick. And then pretty soon it was, well, you know, it's still around. It's still around. It's still around. And here we are, 8 months later, and you still haven't seen them darken the doorway of that church, of this church. I don't know that we'll ever see them darken the doorstep again, because it's gotten easy, because they no longer see it as sin. I have to protect myself. Is it not good to be in church Sunday night? Yes, it is. It's very good. Very good to be here Wednesday night. You know, I was really encouraged when I looked out tonight and seen more filled chairs than I did Sunday night. Amen. Prayer night. My brethren are praying with me. Amen. And for me. I'm encouraged. And I'm sure Pastor would be encouraged when Deborah goes over and says, you know, we had a lot of people in church on Wednesday night for a Wednesday night prayer meeting. And so on my office wall, I am reminded of this. There's two verses on my office wall. You're welcome to go see them anytime you want. 2 Chronicles 12:14. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And then the Lord convicted me. Not only do you do evil, but let me give you a promise. Something that goes along with that. You know, that's a little bit on the negative side. Doing evil because I don't prepare my heart. Yes, that's wrong. I don't prepare my heart in the morning. Yeah, I'm going to do evil. So am I going to sin? Yes. And so I put up a second verse. 2 Chronicles 27:6. So Jonathan became mighty because he prepared his way before the Lord his God. Do I want to be mighty or do I want to be evil? What do you want to do? Your choice. Do you want to be evil? Do you want to be mighty? You want to prepare your heart? You want to just, I got to go, Lord. Ain't got time for you this morning. I got my hot cup of coffee. I'm ready to roll. Oh, yeah, Lord. I'll talk to you later. Probably going to run into evil. I want God to hear my prayers, so I prepare my heart. You know, the one of the best things that's happened to me, and you may think that it's a lot of work, is when I've had to take over the principal duties at this school. Because I get to prepare for a chapel message or a devotional message twice a week. So, you know, if I'm fluffing and messing around, I get Monday and I get Thursday. So I can mess up on Tuesday and Wednesday, but I better have my heart ready for Thursday morning. Or Brother Leo's going to know that when I talk gibberish and I can't give him a good heartfelt message, he's going to know what's wrong with Brother. Or when I come in Monday morning, was he in church yesterday? Didn't he cut his sin list real short? Can he come up with something better than that then? Now I lay me down to sleep. Can I do a better prayer than that? Because I should have prepared my heart. My sin list should be short. I should be close to God. And he should be guiding me rather than me. Have you ever seen this big Great Dane dragging its owner along the way? Sometimes we think that we're going to drag God along. No, we're not going to drag him along. We're just going to go off on our own and do whatever we want to. And we got to be careful. Thankfulness. Oh, what a great God we have. I'm only standing here because of his grace and his mercy. What a thankful I should be to my God. So many blessings to be thankful for. I often think of what did he save me from? Of an eternal hell. And gave me a mansion that he personally is preparing just for this unworthy sinner. He's not giving me something that I earned or deserve. He's giving me something because he loves me. And he cares for me. Because he died on the cross and paid the sin price for my sin. Shouldn't the least I could do is talk to him? That's the least. Can I read his love letter that he gave me? I want you to know me. Here's my Bible. I want you to know me. Can I at least know him? Thankful for the salvation that he brought to my family. I was talking to my grandchildren last night. I had them for dinner sitting there. And I was telling my granddaughter. So my dad always wanted us to be better than he was. And he says, you make your children better than you. And I thought, you know, what better than to have a legacy of saved father, which I had, didn't live a godly life. He was a drunkard. He got saved way late, few months before his death. Did not accomplish much for God. To me, not to my son, and not to my grandchildren. Because on that day of judgment, when those people are getting thrown into hell, I don't want them to see my grandchildren getting thrown in there because I failed. You got to be better. And how? I won't be like the rich man, begging for my family from hell where there is no hope. You know, the rich man ended up in hell, but he had a desire to see his family saved. He just waited too long. Are you going to let things that are unimportant, that won't matter in eternity, interfere with your walk for God? And others will go to hell in your family because you didn't do the right thing. I wanted to watch that football game. I wanted to go for that ride. I needed whatever. Or is eternity more important to you? Supplication. This is where I can bring my unsaved loved ones to him. The brethren who are ill, my physical needs before the throne of grace where God will listen. Even as verse 8 says that he knows of our need before we ask him. He knows, but I can still bring it to him. Amen. He wants to hear it. So this week, my son does a podcast along with daily devotions that he writes. And in his podcast, He was driving down the street and he read a church sign. What if we had today the things that we thank God for yesterday? And that's the only things you had. If I had today what we thank God for yesterday. And then he said he went home and immediately got on his knees. Thank God for his bed, his house, his food, his wife, his children, his salvation. What are you going to have tomorrow if God decides to give you just what you asked him for today? Did you remember to pray for that list of people that needed prayer? Did you thank God for his goodness? Did you thank God for that breath? I can't think of, you know, because I have a touch of asthma. And I remember my younger days, and foolishly, about 9 months ago, we were walking up in a power plant, and there was like 6 flights of stairs going to the top. I could see way up there, and I said, come on, let's run. Let's see who can get up there first. And about the second floor were 20 years ago, I'd have a two 50-pound toolboxes, and I'd run all the way to the top, put them down, and smile. Should I be thankful for that breath? Now I know what it feels like to be gasping for air. Our God is such a gracious God. He doesn't require us to thank Him. But just think if He did. And you only got what you thanked Him for. What would you get? Some of us wouldn't eat because we didn't thank Him before we had our dinner. I used to have a friend of mine that said, I always pray after I eat dinner because if it's really good, he gets a real long prayer. And if it's not so good, he gets a real short prayer. You should be thankful for no matter what you have. So, tomorrow, are you going to get fed? Tomorrow, are you going to have safety? Tomorrow, are you going to have a bed to sleep in? Because you thanked Him for it. Tomorrow, now get serious. Is your wife going to be alive because you thanked the Lord for her? Or your husband? Or your mom? Or your dad? Or your grandmother? Or your grandfather? Or your grandchild? Because you told God, thank you for them. Or don't have to thank God for any of that. They're there. I know they're there. If you only get what you thank them for, what will it be? My prayers are going to have to get longer. I have a habit of when I leave my house, because I am forgetful and I have driven away and left my garage door open, I push my garage door to close my eyes, I pray. And if I open my eyes and my garage door is still open, I have to push the button again and pray again. I want my prayer to be long enough that my door is not doing this, but it's this. I don't try to cheat the Lord. When do you pray? For your safety on your trip to the store. You know, we all know what happened to Al Price, the driver across the lane. What if that's you? Did you thank the Lord for safety? And so, in that podcast, he was also thanking. He was also talking about the 10 lepers and where only one thanked him. And before we get too hard on those lepers, most of us are going to be in that 10%, and the 90% that did not thank Him. I'm talking about thanking Him. Would you have thanked Him? Did you thank Him today? We have not because we ask not. Luke 11:9 says, and I said to you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Where are you looking, or are you waiting for it to come to you? Because you deserve it. You know, there are people that do that. Just sit there. God, you owe me. The great God of the universe, the awesome God, owes us nothing. He has given us everything. He gave us His Son to die on the cross. Not only was died, not only was buried, but rose again, defeated death to give us salvation. And if you've accepted Him as your Savior, you will be in heaven one day. And if you're sitting in here as you are cast into the lake of fire, He will tell you, I didn't know you. And you won't be able to say, but I didn't know. Because we made salvation very clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I told my students today, when I was sitting in that, what do you call that machine that goes bang, 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 MRI, for 20 minutes I quoted Bible verses. I praise the Lord that I knew 20 minutes worth of Bible verses. I am extremely claustrophobic. They had given me some kind of drug to calm me down. Yeah, that helped. But I learned enough of the Bible, and I could talk to my God through Bible verses. And was I so glad when I heard, done, coming out. God is good. God is worthy. God deserves our honor. Don't shortchange yourself. You're never going to shortchange God. This book will either keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And what is sin? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, you can have 10,000 excuses, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So what is sin in your life? Anything that isn't good. Let's pray.